telephone that rings. But who's to answer? Oh, how the ghost of you clings. These foolish things remind me of you.
Do you prefer? You heard Frank at the start there, and then Bob came in. I mean, obviously, we here think Bob's performance is far superior. Now, we haven't really had an answer to that last question. So we're going to just ask again. On what date did Bob Dylan come off his motorcycle in Woodstock? Preferably a date, a month, a year. Look, we have the Bob Dylan Society in Sydney has a monthly meeting. We go down to the Royal Exhibition Hotel in Devonshire Street, Surry Hills, right across from the entry to Central Station's Devonshire Street Tunnel. Third Monday of every month, hail, rain, tsunami, whatever. We'll generally be there around about 6:30, talking, singing, drinking. We don't have minutes or points of order, and the only regulation is that you live outside the law. To live outside the law, you've got to be honest. So come and join us up the stairs in the beer garden. That's the third Monday of every month. Now, here we have Bob back in 2015 talking about how he opened a different door in a different kind of way and how his songs divided people.
I'm just opening up a different door in a different kind of way. It's just different to say the same thing. I didn't think it was anything out of the ordinary. Well, you know, I just thought I was doing something natural. But right from the start, my songs were divisive for some reason. They divided people. I never knew why. Some of them got angered. Others loved them. Didn't know why. My songs had detractors and supporters. A strange environment to have to throw your songs into. But I did it anyway. Last thing I thought about was, who cared about what song I was writing? I was just writing them. I didn't think I was doing anything different. I thought I was just extending the line. Maybe a little bit unruly. But I was just elaborating on situations. Maybe hard to pin down, but so what? A lot of people are hard to pin down.
Crimson flames tied through my ears, rolling high in mighty traps. But I was so much older then. I'm younger than that now.
And we have a winner. It took a little while. Somebody's, our audience has got slow internet connections, clearly.
Well, they're just enjoying themselves too much, yes. So that was Ben. Ben at Enmore, he, yes, he...
Ben, we know you knew it, okay? I'm just joshing.
What was the question? The question was, on what Bob date did Bob Dylan come off his motorcycle in Woodstock? And everybody knows it was July 29, 1966, another huge day in the history of rock and roll. So Ben, a CD, a Bob Dylan CD, will be on its way. You'll get it in the next couple of weeks. So stay tuned, everybody. We've got some more questions coming up, more Bob Dylan CDs to give away. That was my back page. We just don't play that often enough, do we?
No, we haven't played it for quite a while. It's a revelation.
Remember.
Really. It's what a tremendous song.
It is.
It's a great, great song, great album. So right now, we're going to go back to the 80s. Over the last several years, people out in Bobland have been doing a bit of reappraisal of what Bob was getting up to in the 80s, and people have generally written off Bob's 80s, even though they contain both 1983's Infidels and 1989's Oh Mercy. Anyway, little treasures have been floating up to the surface, like this song from an album called After the Empire that never got finished. It's full of uncompleted tracks, some of which are merely sung ideas bashed around the studio. Well, what we're going to play is a very promising prototype for a great Bob Dylan song. It's called Nothing Here Worth Dying For.
They get on an evening train all the way to New Orleans, and a ride by track, prettiest I ever seen. Gonna need my day. Say, what did you come here for? Dying.
Nothing Here Worth Dying For. What a, it's, well, geez, wouldn't it be great if he had got that one together? And what about all the other things he did in the 80s that never quite made it? So, yeah, we've got another thing from the 80s later on in the show. So here we are on the Bob Dylan Birthday Marathon. We're going through to 4 in the morning, and we're just doing Bob. Now, we don't usually do book reviews when there's so many books about Bob these days, you just can't keep up. So there's 3 books we think are good reads, one of which was Seeing the Real You at Last, Life and Love on the Road with Bob Dylan by Brita Lee Shane. She met Bob in the mid-80s. He invited her on a tour with him and Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Very well written, poetic, charming, romantic, intimate. Great insight into the Bob Dylan and life in California in the 80s. Testimony by Robbie Robertson. Robbie gets to tell his side of the story and proves to be a talented writer. Robbie was born in Toronto, Canada. His mum was a Mohawk Indian and a Jewish dad. Robbie started playing in bands in his mid-teens, joined up with Ronnie Hawkins and toured for years and years. In 1965, Robbie and the Hawks were invited to back Bob Dylan on a tour that would go down in rock history. This book ends after the Last Waltz movie in 1976. It's interesting all the way through. And finally, Judas, From Forest Hills to the Free Trade Hall, A Historical View of the Big Boo, by the man who knows more about Bob Dylan than Bob Dylan. That's Clinton Halen. Or perhaps Zach Darnach knows almost as much about Bob as Bob does. Coinciding beautifully with the release of 1966 live recordings, this book is an exhaustive study of the period from July 65 to May 66, the tour of the US, Australia, Europe, culminating in the Royal Albert Hall, London, where an exhausted Bob Dylan has a final showdown with some disgruntled fans who had wanted to sit on the box they keep him in. So here we are in the Bob Dylan Birthday Marathon. We've got a song, couple of songs coming out. The Spanish is The Loving Tongue. Absolutely beautiful song.
Spanish is the loving tongue, soft as music, light as spray. 'Twas a girl I learned it from, living down Sonora way. I don't look much like a lover, still I hear her love words over, mostly when I'm all alone. Mi amor, mi corazón. On the nights that I would ride, she would listen for my spurs. Throw that big door open wide, raise those laughing eyes of hers. Oh, how those hours would go away flying. All too soon I would hear her sigh in her sweet and quiet tone. Mi amor, mi corazón. Haven't seen her since that night. I can't cross the line, you know. They want me for a gambling fight, like as not, it's better so.
mail car is pulling into the station now. That means we have to check our email. This email comes from Christine Riddell. She doesn't give her address, so we'll just call her Christine. She writes, "Dear Theme Time, here's my question. Do you really pull all your selections from your own personal record collection, or is that just a tall tale? If you are the owner of all these records, how many do you have, and where do you store them? Would you like an original copy of the LP, Rock Around the Clock? I'll donate to your collection if it really exists." Well, you know, Christine, these are all my own records, and I keep them in various places. I like to hear music wherever I am. I wish I'd get more letters like this one, though. Sometimes we get a lot with people making requests. I got nothing against requests, but sometimes I get the feeling that people are just requesting records from their own collections. I never understood that. I mean, if you got the record, you don't need me to play it. One of the things we try to do at Theme Time Radio Hour is shine the light on some folks that don't get a lot of radio play. We're not going to play the songs you hear everywhere else. Maybe once in a while we will. But the point is, if you want to hear your record collection, play your records. And if you want to hear your record collection on the radio, get yourself a radio show. That's what I did. Thanks a lot, Christine. Oh, and by the way, thanks for your generous offer. But I already got a copy of Rock Around the Clock. And we'll be playing it in our upcoming classic rock show.
Seen the arrow on the doorpost saying this land is condemned. Hear that undertaker's bell.
Fantastic.
Blind Willie McTell, absolutely marvellous song.
And a good mix. Well done, Bill. That was tops. And thanks to Steve Dixon, who's sent us on... We've got the Bob Dylan Birthday Marathon as an event on Facebook, and he sent us a picture of the Duluth local paper, which has an article, Happy Birthday, Bob.
Excellent.
So you can it's a public event. You can go and search it up and have a look at it if you're a Facebook kind of guy or girl.
Oh, how would you like to go to Duluth and see Bob's childhood home? Eh?
That'd be nice. I wouldn't say no.
Yep, people should check it out. The size of the house is interesting, isn't it? It's big.
Yep.
Well, we've got Zach on the line.
We do. Zach, how are you going?
Very good. How are you?
Thanks for joining us.
No problem.
Okay, Bill, I'll give Zach to you.
Now, Zach, let me just explain to the listeners. You've been writing for ISIS, some fantastic articles, and we had a nice chat to you last year. We're hoping maybe we'll do this every year. So, but anyway, let's talk about the rumoured bootleg series Volume 13. Back in October last year, Rolling Stone ran an article about bootleg series 13 and reported it would be about the gospel period, 79 to 81. Have we heard anything since then?
Well, we have, yeah. Clinton Halen, who you mentioned before, he wrote a book called Judas last year, which came out. He described it as a companion piece to the live 1966 recordings box set. So he's already got another book, which is called Trouble in Mind, Bob Dylan's Gospel Years, What Really Happened, which is scheduled for release on November 14 this year, so just around 6 months away. And that is going to be similarly the companion piece for the next bootleg series of the Gospel Years.
Is the title What Really Happened a reference to that article, What Happened? And he's saying, What Really Happened?
Well, I'm not sure. You might have to ask him. So that was the Paul Williams sort of essay after Paul Williams very luckily was at the very first run of gospel performances at the Warfield Theatre in San Francisco in November 1979. And he was so struck by the performances he saw, he immediately wrote an essay called, Bob Dylan, What Happened? And so maybe
Maybe it is.
Yep.
Well, I'll put it on my list of things to ask Clinton next time.
Zach, they say the 1981 tour was professionally recorded, presumably by Sony CBS. What about the 79 and 80? Were there any professional recordings from them?
Yeah, definitely. If you go look, anyone can look on the Amazon.com website for Clinton's book, where you can pre-order it there. So I'm giving Clinton a plug again. In the blurb there, it says very clearly that every live show, every rehearsal, every studio session was recorded. So I think we can expect on the next bootleg series there's going to be live shows from each of the 3 years, 79, 80 and 81.
And Bob was deeply committed to the gospel shows. What do you think was the best concert from that period?
I just think the whole period of the touring he did in those 3 years is right up there with 66. And I think most serious Bob fans who collect all the tapes and listen to all the concerts, there seems to be a pretty universal opinion that's the case, that his performances were so inspired and passionate, and whatever your personal opinions might have been on the nature of Bob's songs and his Born Again and Conversion, I just think the performances are just astounding. I think they're right up there with the very best concerts he's ever given. And I wasn't around, I never saw any, we never saw any in Australia, but if you listen to the audience recordings, which float around freely among the fans, it's pretty obvious there was amazing things happening.
Indeed.
Concerts. If you want to like pick one show, I guess 16th of November 1979, which is the last of that run of shows at the Warfield. He did 12 nights there, he did 14 nights there, and I think that's universally regarded as probably one of the great shows he's ever done. Sticking with 79, there was other great shows in Santa Monica, Tempe, Albuquerque, and all the way through 80 and 81. The European 81 tour is just incredible.
Well, that performance on Saturday Night Live, the three songs he did, with that wonderful close-up of him, he just looked magnificently. He was so deeply in conviction of what he was doing.
I think he was understandably very nervous. That was his sort of live debut of his, I guess, this new phase for him, this new period in his life. Slow Train Coming had been released before that Saturday Night Live show, so everyone had time to hear these new songs and try and make sense of them, but that was the first we got to see a live performance and see his new band with the whole gospel set up. Yeah, fantastic.
So what do you know about the video that we haven't seen before?
There are rumours that the box set may include, this has been reported by others, I don't have any inside information or inside scoop, I'm just keeping up with the news, so there's a show from Buffalo, New York that's been from 1980 that's been reported as supposedly being professionally filmed and that will possibly be part of this gospel bootleg series. I guess most collectors know the Toronto show, so you played a cut from that earlier, Ain't Gonna Go to Hell. So most collectors probably have seen the show from 20th of April, which has floated around since 1988, another professionally recorded film, so that could possibly be on there too.
Well, we've got a track coming up, Solid Rock. This is from one of the concerts you mentioned, Tempe, Arizona, in November 79. Solid Rock, we're going to be playing that soon. Now, just before we let you go, do you have any prophecies for Bootleg Series Volume 14?
Well, I think it's pretty established that what's coming after the Gospel Bootleg Series is going to be probably revisiting the Rolling Thunder review years. So we had a Rolling Thunder review bootleg series quite a while ago, but I think that was a little bit disappointing how they presented that. So I think it's interesting that they're going to revisit that and hopefully give us something much bigger and better. So that could come in maybe 2 years' time. It's also been for many years talk that there'll be a Blood on the Tracks bootleg series. I think, that's probably just sitting there waiting to come out whenever they're ready.
Well, we live in hope, eh? So, yeah. And of course, we've got the Martin Scorsese is doing something with Rolling Thunder too, isn't he?
Well, that's possibly part of the expanded Rolling Thunder review bootleg series or whatever release, however that might come out.
Great. So, Zach, you've done heaps of fine, highly detailed articles for ISIS magazine. Is there a Zach Dardich Dylan book in the future?
Possibly. Do you remember a few years ago, Bob posted a message on his website to his fans and followers, and at the end of it, he kind of sarcastically said that there are squillions of books being written about him, and he kind of dared anyone who'd ever met him or seen him or heard him to scribble down their own book. So Maybe we should all do some scribbling.
Why don't we all write a book? Well, Zach, look, it's been fantastic talking to you. Thank you very much for giving us your time tonight, and perhaps we'll talk to you again next year.
Well, so, I hope so. All right.
Okay, maybe thanks, Zach. Thanks for joining us on the Bob Dylan Birthday Marathon on 2SER. All right, and what do we got?
Solid Rock. Now, let me just say something about this. This is...
No.
I'll go on.
Oh, all right.
Tempe, Arizona, November 1979, Bob delivered a sermon to the audience when there was a bit rowdy minority of people. Here he is speaking out of his deep conviction before a rousing version of Solid Rock.
How many people here are aware that we're living in the end times right now? How many people are aware of that? Anybody want to know that? Anybody interested in knowing living in the end times? How many people do know that? Just be allowed to do something. How many people don't know that? Well, we are. We're living in the end times. That's right. I told you that. I told you the times are changing 20 years ago. And I don't believe I've ever lied to you. I don't think I said anything that's been a lie. Never told you to vote for nobody. Never told you to follow nobody. Well, I'll tell you a story about that now. When Jesus saw this woman, they all wanted to stone her. Because, you know, she was an adulteress. So they come by and they wanted to stone her. And they said to Jesus, they said, Master, they said, they wanted to trick him, you know. So they say, what say you? What do you say here? Should we stone this woman? Because she has been an adulterer. And he says, well, let him who is without the sin cast the first stone. Yeah. They all just dropped their stones and they walked away. And then he said to the woman, he said, woman, he said, you're free now, you go and sin no more. And the woman left. Well, let me tell you that the devil owns this world. He's called the God of this world. Now, we're living in America. I like America just as much as everybody else does. I love America. I got to say that. But America will be judged. You know, God comes against the country in three ways. First ways he come against them, he come against them in their economy. Did you know that? He messes with their economy first time. You can check all the way back to Babylon and Persia and Egypt. Many of you here are college students, aren't you? Many of you college students. Well, you ask your teachers about this now. You see that I know they're going to verify what I say. Every time God comes against a nation, first of all, he comes against their economy. If that doesn't work, he comes against their ecology. This is nothing new that's happening. He did it in Egypt, he did it with Persia, and he did it with Babylon, he did it with the whole Middle East. It's a desert now. It used to be flourishing gardens. All right. If that don't work, he just brings up another nation against them. So one of those three things has got to work. Now, Jesus Christ is that solid rock. He's supposed to come two times. He came once already. See, that's the thing. He's been here already. Now, he's coming back again. Now, you've got to be prepared for this, because no matter what you read in the newspaper, that's all deceit. The real truth is that he's coming back already. And you just watch your newspapers. You're going to see maybe 2 years, maybe 3 years, 5 years from now, you just watch and see Russia will come down and attack in the Middle East. China's got an army of 200 million people. They're going to come down to the Middle East. There's going to be a war called the Battle of Armageddon, which is like some war you never even dreamed about. And Christ will set up his kingdom. He will set up his kingdom in... He'll rule it from Jerusalem. Now, I know as far out as that might seem, this is what the Bible says. Now, hey, I'll tell you about getting stoned. What do you want to know about getting stoned? All right. What you're going to need is something strong to hang on to. You got drugs to hang on to now. You might have a job to hang on to now. You may have your college education to hang on to now. But you're going to need something very solid to hang on to when these days come. Let me tell you one more thing. when Jesus spoke his parables, he spoke them to people. He said parables to all these people. Everybody could hear the parables. Everybody heard the same parable. Some people understood them and some people didn't. But he said the same one. He said the same thing to everybody. Do you understand? He didn't try to hide it. He just said it. Those that believed it and understood it, and those that didn't. That's right. We're going to play a song here called Hanging On to a Solid Rock, made before the foundation of the world. Now remember now, you talk to your teachers about what I say. I'm sure you're paying a lot of good money for your education now, so you better get one.
Oh,
solid rock from Tempe, Arizona in November 1979. How would you like to be there? It's like it just sounds so energizing. It's amazing, some of that. And we're going to possibly, as you heard Zach say then, it's quite possible we're going to hear a whole bunch of this stuff coming up just before Christmas this year. Now, here we are on the Bob Dylan Birthday Marathon. In about 20 minutes, we're going to start a different segment, and it's called Down Temple Street, and it's all about the spirituality of Bob.
Oh, well, it's not all about the spirituality of Bob. It's
a big subject.
A couple of us, me, Terry Darmody, and quite a few of Bob's fans, are very intrigued by the religious underpinnings. I mean, he was certainly helped in his own life by a very basic fundamentalist approach at one stage, but that wasn't the whole story. I mean, there's a heck of a lot of Old Testament stuff. There's, you know, all the material about dreams and...
Yeah, and there's a fantastic bit in the in Don't Look Back when the reporter says, Have you read the Bible?
and he says he's looked through it.
he had it open on a lectern all the time he was writing.
Yes, that's what his mum said. Yes, his mum told one of those.
Lots of people have said this. Yeah. Well, the visitors said that. And John Wesley Harding. And it's interesting, too, that he took John Wesley Harding along to the band and said, hey, look, we've got this new thing we're going to do together. And Robbie had a listen and said, it's perfect like it is, Bob. Right,
and I think they might have been a little busy as well.
No, I think he was right.
Yeah. Welcome to the show again, Robin Weston, founding member of the Superhuman crew.
One of the, yes, yeah. Thank you very much.
And so that's more coming your way, sort of 10-ish to 12, so not too long ago.
Not too long ago now. At all.
I do hope Terry Darmody can come in.
He's on his way.
Good. Yeah, and Robert Adamson has lent his wisdom to the segment as well.
Okay, terrific.
Well, before we go any further, it's time for quiz question number two. Number to ring is 9514 9500. Question is, I Want You was released on a 45 RPM single in Australia in August 1966. What was on the flip side? I'll ask that again. I Want You was released on a 45 RPM single in Australia in August 1966. What was on the flip side? And you'd probably know the answer if you've been listening to the show.
That's right. 9514 9500.
So,
standing ovations for this year's Literature Prize here in the Stockholm Concert Hall. The 1,500 guests will now hear one of Bob Dylan's most famous songs, A Hard Rain's Gonna Fall. Orchestration by Hans Eyck, performed by Patti Smith. What did you see, my darling?
Solar highway of diamonds with nobody on it. I saw the black branch with blood that kept dripping. I saw the babe that was just bleeding. I saw the babe that... I'm sorry. Earth, salt in the... Sorry. I'm sorry. Could we start that section? I apologize. Sorry, I'm so nervous.
Please start again. We want to hear it.
So a newborn babe with wild wolves all around it. So a highway of diamonds with nobody on it. I saw the black branch with blood that kept dripping. So a room full of men whose hammers were bleeding. I saw the white ladder all covered with water. So 10,000 talkers whose tongues were all broken. I saw guns and sharp swords in the hands of young children. And it's a heart, it's a heart, it's a heart, it's a heart. What did you hear, my blue-eyed son? And what did you hear, my darling young one? Heard the sound of the thunder that roared out a warning. Heard the roar of a wave that could drown the whole world. Heard one person laughing, heard many people laughing. Nobody listening. Heard one person starve. Heard many people laughing. Heard the song of a poet who died in the gutter. Heard the sound of a clown that cried in the alley. It's a heart. It's a heart. It's a heart. It's a heart. Who did you meet, my blue-eyed son? And who did you meet, my darling young one? I met a young child beside a dead pony. I met a young man and had a black dog. Where the pillars. that singing. It's a heart, it's a heart, it's a heart.
Was a sudden ending. She wouldn't be the first person to forget some of the words of that song.
And that mistake was just sort of endearing, wasn't it? It was it was such a wonderful performance, and Patti Smith is
wonderful,
utterly brilliant.
Added to the impact.
Now, we've been joined by Rowena Lennox, who's a former broadcaster on 2SER on Final Draft, and amongst other things. Hello, Rowena.
Hi, Bruce. Hello, Dylan people.
And thanks for joining us. Now, you've just got a... Rowena has a particular interest in animals, and in particular the dingo, and this is a very... there's lots of spiritual sides to this. And what does Bob Dylan and dingoes have in common, apart from Bob Dylan's songs have teeth?
Yeah, well, I've started noticing that a couple of Bob Dylan songs had teeth, but I went to Fraser Island, or Gari, as it's known to its bachelor custodians, to meet some dingoes. And I also happened to meet some Dylan fans when I was on Gari, and it got me thinking about dingoes and Dylan in the same compartment of my brain.
And what happened?
Well, I was just thinking of Dylan's songs, and then of course I started to realise that a lot of Dylan's songs kind of could apply to dingoes, like that one, A Hard Rain's Gonna Fall. I think that's a perfect song for a dingo mother to sing to her dingo pup. And I thought of, Idiot Wind has got teeth in it. You can find the teeth, Bruce, I'm sure you...
That's right, blowing through your teeth.
I'm sure you know. And unlikely one, Brownsville Girl, put me in mind of dingoes too, because it's kind of about outlaws, and dingoes are outlaws, and irascible, you know, relentless, never learn. People and dingoes just never seem to learn. And the teeth, of course.
Yes.
Like a young dingo teeth. But it's very good of you to give up some of the Bob Dylan special to dingoes, Bruce, knowing how much you don't like canids.
No. I have no problem with canines. They seem to have a problem with me. That's the issue. I've never...